firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit LOC.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Scam artists are preying on people trying to repair their credit. Here's Joe Ullery.
The American Association of Consumer Credit Professionals, best known as AACCP, has issued a warning about rogue credit repair firms whose shady practices prey on consumers who are trying to repair their credit and rebuild their lives. Michael Klotsch with Emergent Strategies, a Washington, D.C.-based consulting firm, says scammers continue working the phones despite a federal judge's landmark ruling.
Essentially, this declares that the law of the land is that if a credit repair company uses telemarketing, either in an outgoing solicitation or referrals through the phones, then they have to wait 6 months before they can bill a consumer.
Klotsch says consumers should always be suspicious of unsolicited calls and texts promising things that seem too good to be true. There are reputable credit repair firms who truly want to help rebuild your credit score. Klotsch says AACCP is a good place place to start if you are in the market to rebuild damaged credit, along with others?
Look at the Federal Trade Commission, as well as the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, to understand your rights in this marketplace. The reality is that repairing your credit is time-consuming and is confusing, and there are reputable players that can help consumers advocate for themselves.
Consumers who understand their rights and the law are well on their way to repairing a low credit score and protecting themselves from falling victim to bad actors who cannot follow the rules. I'm Joe Ullery reporting.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You are listening.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. No likely on this last day of 2023. Could mix with a little rain at times. We'll see cloudy skies and highs in the mid-30s with gusty west winds. Tonight, most of the snow should be wrapping up before the ball drops. Mostly cloudy and upper 20s. Right now, it's 28.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Okay, Anna, because we have not here. We have a new tradition here where my guests sing the chorus line with me. Give it up by House Flowers. If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, December 30th, it's still this time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Don Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in the old NAMI building, 217 Wisconsin Avenue, right around the corner from Theodora Yeoman's Park. We're proud to honor our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. And here we go. Turn it up on you. All right. You ready, Nick? You ready, Joe?
Oh, yeah. Long, you know.
Should get Johnny in on this, too.
Give it up. Shout it out. Share it out.
Help who you can.
Help who you can. Help who you
can. Talk about it. Talk about it.
Talk about it. Talk about it. About
a lot of work to be done here.
We made it.
But you see these you see these guys on the hardwood playing volleyball. It's a much different story. They're very much in sync, just like the boys in the boat. Highly recommend seeing that movie. And someday there will be a movie about the boys on the net from Waukesha Fusion, how they came together.
Yeah, not quite as successful.
Well, I would say, but given the how well you did in the Classic Eight, arguably the most competitive conference in the state, and 2 years in a row of tremendous success, making it to the sectional finals twice and then winning in that second time in what is arguably one of the most amazing matches in any high school sport, in any, you know, in any sport. It was really, it was just, was magical. It's a magical year. And, this show is dedicated to, it's a review of 2023, and we have our, what I believe, our sports person of the year, Joseph Bansky, and his All-State middle blocker, Nick Bingenheimer from North, a North Star, and proud member of the Fusion team. And we're looking back on 2023, and I want to go all the way back to our first airing on January 7th, and that was, my guest was Caitlin Weber, the licensed athletic trainer for Children's Wisconsin, Children's Hospital Wisconsin, also for Waukesha South. And we were discussing sports injuries in light of something happened at the national level that was, you know, hard to forget, and for, especially for me personally. So the day was January 2nd. It's a Monday, and when January 1st falls on a Sunday, all the bowl games are moved to the 2nd because the NFL owns Sunday. And I'm waiting for the Rose Bowl to end so that, because Monday Night Football is on, and my beloved Buffalo Bills were playing a very important game for home field advantage against the Cincinnati Bengals. And waiting for the Rose Bowl, and I probably have a good half hour, I decided to go walk the dog. And I decided to call my mother, who hasn't been in good health. She's been widowed for a little more than a year at that point in time. And in this phone conversation, she tells me that that she had a priest come to the house to administer last rites. And a very heady conversation. I'm like, well, that was just a formality, right? And she's like, well, I haven't been feeling that well. And she asked me if I'm going to be okay. And of course, I tell her that, and this is true, not a day goes by when both of my grandmothers who'd been deceased for more than 30 years, I don't feel their presence. And I said, it'll be the same thing, that she's always going to be with me. And so again, very heady conversation. I get back home. I'm like, okay, now I can just take my mind off of that and watch my Buffalo Bills, you know, big game, you know, cheer them on. And then early in the game, their defensive back, Damar Hamlin, puts a really hard hit on a receiver for the Bengals named T. Higgins. And he bounces off the ground, gets back up, and then like probably a split second later, he collapses and nothing's functioning. And we know the rest of the story. And had it not been for that response team from the Bills and the Bengals and the whole, you know, the stadium, he might not have made it, but this young man survived. And so, you know, as parents of student athletes, especially you could say football players or those engaged in collision sports, and I would say even in a real high impact sport that takes, you know, is really physically exhausting like volleyball, you're naturally concerned about something like this happening to our kids and how well equipped are we. And so it was great having Caitlin on that January 7th episode to talk about that. And you know, North has a story, you know, one of their young men had collapsed in a pickup basketball game and passed away. And I knew some of the boys that were there that day, and a lot of them were trained in CPR, but because of the sheer panic, no one had gotten to him. And like, there's a good amount of period went by. And well, now as a result, you know, like several of our parks have defibrillators on site for us to use in case of those things. And then, and, you know, and again, in our high school field houses and playing fields, that we have some really capable training staff, athletic trainers there, and a great, you know, first response team from our city, our police and our fire department, our, you know, emergency services. So, but you know, again, Joe, even though you're not a football coach, that had to have had an impact on you, and I'm sure on you, Nick. When if you remember, if you look back, that's almost a year now.
Sure do. When you think about that particular moment, you know, it, just as you were explaining it, you know, all the coaches, head coaches, have to be CPR and first aid certified. Mm-hmm. We have to keep that up to date, and it's one of those responsibilities that you take on. One, you would want to help your athlete.
Right.
You know, and anybody would.
Sure.
The challenge becomes, you know, knowing what to do.
And having that composure.
Yeah. We enjoy on Fusion Volleyball, Carly Sobrilski, one of our, which is now Carly Hilbury, we enjoy her services. She's an RN. So I kind of sit back a little bit, go like, well, I got Carly, man.
Yeah.
But when you look at the games, And you understand the length of the season, the amount of mm-hmm. pressure we're putting on
right.
limbs and
sure.
our bodies.
Sure.
Caitlin was a huge resource for us this year. You know, the harder you compete, more demanding you are in your body, the more chance
absolutely.
For injury. And
sure.
Caitlin was a huge resource. We used her services quite a bit this year.
Sure.
With little things and
sure.
more significant things.
That's great. So, and then in January 14th of this year, my guest was Joanna Adamiki, the special events coordinator for Waukesha Parks and Rec, and she was talking about Winter Jamboree, and that is back, of course, again. I think it's the 57th annual or 58th annual, and that runs from January 19th to the 28th this year. The theme is Extreme Winter Green, so definitely go to janboree.org to check out the events, and do so. I would be surprised if most of those events are sold out already, but check them out. It is a great way to celebrate winter, and it's something that's very unique to Waukesha. So it's really excited about that coming around the corner. And hopefully on the 13th, my guest will be a representative from Parks and Rec to talk more about that. So then January 21st, one of the biggest, you know, around that time, one of the biggest watershed moments of the year was the conference realignment for Waukesha North and South football out of the Classic Eight and into the more equitable Parkland Conference. And it was a result of grassroots lobbying from parents, students, athletic directors like Dan Schreier and Carl Anderson, over, you know, South and North respectively, and other community leaders, in addition to increased media exposure from many media outlets, including Civic Media, This Week in Waukesha, and thanks to Kristen at, you know, As Goes Wisconsin, Kristen Rye, that they drew a lot of statewide attention to that issue and putting North and South football into more equitable conferences. And you know, basically, those two teams playing the Classic Eight would be like a great Division III program, like Whitewater, trying to compete in the Big Ten. Just it's a matter of resources. And another recent development, though, towards the end of the year, is that, and a lot of people believe it's going to be a foregone conclusion, is that Waukesha South and North will also be moving in the other sports into the Woodland Conference. Right. Now, question for you, with Fusion really kicking butt in the Classic Eight, is that something you would accept, or do you want to stay in the Classic Eight for volleyball?
Well, I'll just answer the question. I would rather stay in the Classic Eight with relation to boys volleyball.
Sure.
I can appreciate other sports may view that differently based on competition levels, but you know, that's something that's outside of nobody asked my opinion on it other than, you know.
Sure.
So I gave you the answer. I'd rather stay, but you know, we're going to go play wherever they tell us to go play and face the opponents that we're going to have to face. And I love the coaches in the Classic Eight. It doesn't mean I don't, you know, like the other ones. I just don't have as much interaction with them as I have with the Classic Eight. It's a great peer group. Mm. And I've enjoyed that time with them.
Sounds great. So, and I appreciate your answering. I know it's not an easy question to address. So, but, you know, also on This Week in Waukesha in March, we had the, CEO for the National Kidney Association of Wisconsin, Mike Crowley. And on that show, he announced that he would run for mayor of Waukesha when incumbent Sean Riley is ready to retire from the post. So looking forward to hearing more great things about Mike Crowley. And also in March, Carroll University announced that interim men's head basketball coach Taylor Jansen would become the school's official 27th head coach for the male Cagers. Coach Jansen was a guest on our April 7th show. And again, I encourage everyone to check out the men's and women's basketball team at Carroll. We were broadcasting them on Saturdays, and we're in kind of a holding pattern, working out some things with Carroll. I know that they're going through some reorganization with some of their key departments, but really looking forward to continuing that partnership with our university partners here in this university city. So, and you know, one really neat thing about the Fusion program that, and again, Joe, you were kind of the architect of this when they came up with the Fusion brand, is you chose Carroll's colors, blue and orange, as a way to unite the team.
Yeah, when they gave us the opportunity to define team name, team colors, we wanted to take the best of what we felt was the best of both programs, North and South, and put them together, i.e. the Fusion. And we wanted to represent Waukesha as a great community, and how better to do that than to use a great great facilities like the Carroll University brings to the table and take their colors on. It's a perfect representation, I think, of the community.
Sure. And again, that's, I think that's, and you guys, you have a relationship with Carroll's volleyball staff, I imagine.
As a matter of fact, I do. Their coach, Emma, and I have had many conversations. She shows up in the gym every once in a while at the club level. And, you know, I'm looking forward to continuing and building on that early relationship.
That's great. And speaking of continuing, we'll be back after these important community messages with Coach Joe Bansky and his All-State middle blocker, Nick Bingenheimer, as This Week in Waukesha continues. And again, my guest next week is Lindsay Johnson of the Waukesha Food Pantry. So much to unpack here as we look back on 2023, full of many special moments and watersheds.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Bring your dog into the door. So we have no idea. It's right.
Hey, we're back this week in Waukesha on WAUK 101.1 FM, 540 AM, and the Civic Media app. And you're listening to The Emperor's New Clothes, I believe, by Sinead O'Connor, who also had passed away this year and is fondly remembered. And her music certainly will live on, one of the great artists of the late 20th century and beyond. And we were talking about the year in review, and And again, I'm here with National Coach of the Year and Coach of the Fusion North-South Men's Volleyball Team, Championship Volleyball Team, Joe Bansky, and his All-State middle blocker, Nick Bingenheimer. And question, in the intro I mentioned that we're right around the corner from Theodore Yeomans Park, and I'm putting you on the spot here, Nick. Well, and you too, Joe, but especially Nick because you went to school here. And again, don't be upset if you don't get this, because other students, including Meredith Marks, who was on this show, another great student. Can you tell me who Theodore Yeomans was?
No, I cannot.
And again, this is an honor student. So, and I mean, he's looking at, you know, schools like MSOE. So again, we're not picking on Nick, but Theodore Yeomans was a reporter for the Waukesha Freeman and was the president of the women's suffrage movement in Wisconsin. And she's the reason why Wisconsin was the first state to ratify the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. And you know, someone that should be celebrated here more, and Sean should be part of the school experience, I think, because obviously that was a huge watershed moment. So, and I mentioned too, today is Al Smith's birthday. Could you tell me who Al Smith was?
No.
So now in this age of a lot of polarity, and even some, you know, unfortunate elements that have kind of resurfaced, Al Smith was the governor of New York during the late 20s and early 30s. And some of the social programs he instituted, like child labor laws and other meaningful social programs, were basically the model for the New Deal that had helped, you know, lift the nation up during the Depression and got a lot of people into some great careers. And really had and put some more dollars in people's pockets during a very difficult time in our nation's history. But Al Smith was the first Catholic nominated by a major party for president, and lost to Herbert Hoover in 1928. And the big reason for his loss primarily was his religion, his ethnicity. You know, Al Smith was an Irish Catholic from New York, and at the time, there was still, you know, strong anti-Catholic element in this country. And even 30 years later, when Kennedy had won, he had faced a lot of that, even right here in Wisconsin. And I mentioned that in today's world, where a lot of some of these prejudices have resurfaced, it's good to remember our history and the importance of inclusion. And that's why we celebrate Al Smith's birthday. And there are many groups around the country that celebrate this. So some good history here for you, Nick, that I want you to talk to your teachers about and say, wow, how come we're not covering this in the classroom?
Especially
Theodore Yeoman's. Yes. So thank you. So, and then with our own history here, recent history in March of this year, I had two guests, and it was, Bob Selb, businessman Bob Selb and Eric Payne. And out of six open seats in the city council, that was the second district, which is now my district after the 2021 redistricting. It was Bob Selb was challenging incumbent Eric Payne, and Eric Payne had won that election for a district that now extends from Tower Hill all the way to Banting Park. And it was great to have both of those guys in the show. Some little bit of Waukesha history I learned from Eric Payne that he forgot to mention in the show was because, you know, he lived his whole life here and never really left except for, you know, he's got a place up north. But the one time he was away, he was in the Marines. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who was with the Milwaukee Bucks, babysat his oldest son, Kim, so that his wife Jody, could go out on a Friday night or a rare night. And a lot of the Bucks used to live here in Waukesha. And after games, they would go to the place that has now been vacated by Euros West. You know, it's always been a restaurant there, and that's where they would go in the late 60s, early 70s after games. So a little slice of Waukesha history that was pretty interesting there. Also in the spring, there was another election at the state level. We elected a new Supreme Court judge, Judge Janet Protasiewicz. And by the end of this year, our Supreme Court judged that Wisconsin's legislative maps as unconstitutional. And I think there's an opportunity in there for all of us that I think by having more equitable legislative districts, there's an opportunity for more people to participate in higher voter turnout and all the things that make a good democracy better. And so exciting to see as those, I know it's going to be a lot of work, but I think it's certainly a worthwhile effort. So, so Joe, I know you're not part of the Waukesha School District, right? You have your own business.
I do.
Right? Yeah. Yep. So, but you're also a teacher as a coach.
The highest priority is to be a good teacher, to understand what it takes to win and look at all of those different facets skill wise. You know, I like to look at five areas, heart, body, mind, craft, and team, and make sure that we're teaching in those five areas to make sure our athletes are ready and prepared. And Nick brought this up in a previous segment about how we brought in a mindset coach to specifically talk about how do we get mentally prepared, which transfers well beyond what we do on the court.
Sure.
It's a life skill.
Sure. That's neat. Yeah. And I remember earlier in, I believe it was in November, December, we had Gina Nordrum and Meredith Marks, Waukesha South. Gina, she teaches consumer and family ed, and she also heads up the SALT program, the student athlete
leadership
team.
Yep.
And does North have a program that's pretty active, Nick, to your knowledge, or do you participate in it?
I don't participate in it now. I don't know if have one or not.
Okay. So, but that's good to know because these are student athletes that want to do more for the community. They want to be involved. They want to be active. They want to be leaders in addition to what they're doing now as student athletes, because everybody has a leadership role when you're on a team.
Yeah. SALT has
leadership.
I'll say it's a relatively new format at South. You know, I went back in 2018 and Todd Sobrilski, former athletic director, was really, you know, he was kind of the catalyst in bringing that program, making athletes leaders in the school, because they're obviously, they get a lot of the limelight, but how can they be true leaders in the hallways?
And sure.
So it's a neat program. And I know that North is developing those same kind of attributes within their hallways too.
Sounds great. When we come back from these important messages, more on 2023, and I'm looking at a text message, and we haven't forgotten about the water. We'll be talking water when we come back as This Week in Waukesha continues here on 101.1 FM.
So Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained.
This is The Shaw,
540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. 2024 is here in Australia.
It's iconic, maybe, because it's the first fireworks in the world, and it's the first celebrate of the New Year's, and it's really nice.
We still have many hours to go to ring in the new year here in the United States. Weather Channel meteorologist Molly McCollum with how the new year will begin weather-wise.
Starting Tuesday, travel will be difficult along the five with heavy rain. Meanwhile, we're going to see some dangerous surf, large breaking waves and coastal flooding and snow in the Sierra, all expected.
Maine's Secretary of State was the victim of a swatting incident in her home Friday night, a day after she removed former President Trump from the state's 2024 primary ballot.
Trump basically sending his followers the Secretary of State's photo or office address after her decision to take Donald Trump at least temporarily off of the ballot in Maine.
That's reporter Jake Rosen, CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Packers battle the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Packers and the Vikings tonight on Sunday Night Football. Both teams trying to keep their wild card playoff hopes alive, but another setback for Green Bay defensive back Eric Stokes. He's been placed on IR after suffering another hamstring injury. Backup safety Benny Sapp has been promoted to the 53-man roster. On this day, New Year's Eve 1967, the Packers beat the Cowboys 21-17 in the Ice Bowl, 13 degrees below zero at Lambeau Field. After the game, quarterback Bart Starr on just how slippery the field was.
We were having real poor footing down there, and we had some couple of good plays we felt in that situation. We couldn't put it in with those. The backs were sliding when they would start, and really we could run out of ideas. We didn't know what to do.
Starr scoring the winning touchdown on a quarterback sneak, and head coach Vince Lombardi asked about the game-winning drive.
We didn't do anything differently. We added one little play from the sidelines, and that was it.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. No likely on this last day of 2023. Could mix with a little rain at times. We'll see cloudy skies and highs in the mid-30s with gusty west winds. Tonight, most of the snow should be wrapping up before the ball drops. Mostly cloudy and upper 20s. Right now, it's 28.
The more than 27,000 union carpenters who call the North Central States home wish you a healthy, happy, and safe holiday season. Unions built the middle class, and union carpenters work hard every day to build our communities while they build good careers that provide for their families. This season, we hope you get to enjoy time with friends and family. Happy holidays from Executive Secretary Treasurer Pat Nelson and the staff of the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters.
Lofi's Holiday Sweepstakes is back. The Bakers of Country Hearts would like to put a little more jingle in your holiday this season by giving you a chance to win one of two $500 prizes or the grand prize of $1,000. Winners will each receive a check that can be used for travel, gifts, or just celebrating with family and friends. Whatever makes your holiday more jolly. For complete rules and to enter for your chance to win, visit facebook.com/loafiesbread.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I've thrown a real curveball to Coach Joe Bansky and All-State middle blocker Nick Bingenheimer, Waukesha Fusion. You know the song, but can you guess the artist covering the Neil Young classic?
Johnny Cash?
Yes.
I mean, how could you not know that guy?
You know, it sounds like sacrilege to cover a great, but he does a great job with it. I always enjoyed that version of Heart of Gold.
My son and I were just talking about him as he did a cover of Hurt. From Nine Inch Nails, we were just watching a documentary on it, a little 25-30 minute
right.
documentary about that song, the lyrics, and how when Nine Inch Nails did it, it was a kind of a looking forward.
Yeah.
And when Johnny did it, it was really a man at the end of his life. His right. wife dies like two weeks later.
Yeah.
And how moving that song really is.
What's the artist's name from Nine Inch Nails? I forget his name.
I
want to say Trent Reznor, but
yes, it is Trent Reznor. Okay. Yep. Right. Yeah, he actually,
when he heard it, he broke down crying when he heard it for the first time.
When he saw the video,
he was honored.
He said, "That is no longer my song."
Right. Right.
You know. Yep. So it's really an impactful. If you haven't seen the music video, it's worth the watch.
It sure is. So. This is the last show of 2023, This Week in Waukesha, and we mentioned if there was a sports person of the year, my vote would be Joe Bansky, AVCA Coach of the Year, for his work with the 14S Girls Motion Club, and with the Waukesha Fusion Men's North-South combined team, Classic A co-champions, sectional champion, and going into state for the first time in many years for either school. So just a remarkable year. But I would be remiss if we had a person of the year. My vote would have to be Dan Dukniak, the czar of the Waukesha Water Utility. I think his official title is general manager, but director level position for the city. And a project 20 years in the making. And Dan is a guest twice in the show, first in June to talk about the preparations as we got ready for this big shift. And then him and Mayor Riley had joined me in September as we got closer to that day. And we are the first and will probably be the only non-coastal city in the Great Lakes region to be using Great Lakes water, in our case, Lake Michigan water. And for the first time in more than 30 years, we can now drink water out of our faucets, which in many years we couldn't because of the toxins in our aquifers. And so a real, pun intended, watershed moment. And it was fun, the map that they created that showed you where the city was at with the water transition. That was fun to follow that. It was kind of like watching, the map on election night, for a presidential election.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but it's, we had the Culligan guy over to adjust our softener and show us how we can save money that way. Cause you still need a little bit of softener, but we're certainly going to have some savings that way. And obviously there is a tax burden, but I think as the city grows, we'll be able to offset that as we attract more residents and businesses here to Waukesha. But again, for this to have been approved, we needed the okay from every governor of every Great Lakes state in every Canadian province, in which case there was two provinces, but New York, Pennsylvania, believe it or not, Lake Erie borders Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, of course, Indiana, I believe, Illinois, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. And so that's, to get five or six politicians to agree just on the color of something, or whatever is hard, but to get all of them for this very important moment. And it was, again, it's for something like this for our city to pull off. It's really been amazing. And I know there's certainly opponents to it, again, given the cost involved, but It certainly positions us for a more prosperous future, I believe, knowing that we have a clean drinking source for water and that we're returning it back to Lake Michigan or back to the city of Milwaukee cleaner than what it was when we got it. So, again, that would have to, you know, if I had a person of the year in Waukesha, that would be Dan Dukniak. So another person to mention in 2023 is Karen Treadwell, who was a guest on my show, I believe, in May. And she announced that earlier this year that she would be retiring as executive director of the food pantry serving Waukesha County after 28 years of devoted service. A celebration took place in June at Tuscan Hall, which I had the honor. I was asked to be the master of ceremonies. And County Executive Paul Farrell and Mayor and Waukesha City Mayor Sean Riley had both given really kind proclamations to somebody that really very selfless in her devotion and leadership and this very important mission. And her successor, Lindsay Johnson, is my guest on January 6th. So really excited to have Lindsay here and learn more about how we can support food insecurity in Waukesha County, which, believe it or not, in this affluent county, it's an issue. So, but what else do we have here? Oh, sports moments. We, of course, have covered a lot here in Fusion, and why not? I mean, certainly they're deserving of all the space we have today. But Waukesha South men's basketball team made it to the second straight trip to the playoffs after winning the Classic Eight and making it to the sectional final in 2022. They lost to Kenosha Indian Trail in the second round, but their All-State guard Tyron Cook has continued his basketball career at Virginia Military Institute, where he is starting as a freshman and averaging double-digit points per game. So really excited to see his career continue at the Division I level in college. Another South alumnus from the class of 23 has made a huge splash as a college freshman in the Division I ranks. This time it's, in football, and the freshman's name is Tack Tadioka from Waukesha South's class of 2023. Tack and classmate C.J. Johnson both accepted scholarship offers at St. Thomas University. They were on my show twice, once in the summer of, 2022 before their final season, and then in 2023 before they took off for St. Thomas. So it's great to have those young student leaders, student athletes. Both their guys, their goals are to go to the NFL someday. And those are very lofty goals, but where they're positioned, it's gotta be exciting. CJ was he had a great camp and he was going to start or get a lot of playing time, I believe, as a fullback, but he had some injuries. So his freshman year was cut a little short. But Tack Tadioka, initially they're talking about redshirting him. Then he worked his way into second string quarterback. Tack's kind of guy, can't sit still. And then in the very first game of the season, the starting quarterback got hurt and Tack came in and won the game and then started most of the season and put up some pretty impressive numbers. Got to play at Harvard, which I think was pretty cool. I think they had a game at San Diego, too, like San Diego State or somebody like that. But Tack also suffered a leg injury later on in the season, but things are looking good in his recovery. And again, that's really exciting in your freshman year when you can be playing as much as he did at the Division I level for the Tommies of St. Thomas in Minnesota. So we mentioned the esports team winning a second straight consecutive championship. And then, of course, the mock trial team winning their second title in 3 years and their third straight, I guess, finest or semifinal or state competition, achievement in a row. And so those are great things to celebrate. And two of my favorite moments of the whole year was on May 22nd in a North versus South game at Frame Park. It was the rematch. South won the first one. And Nick Bingenheimer here, my All-State middle blocker, really pleased from North, will be pleased to know that North won that rematch at Frame Park. But what was really exciting to me was that Eric Teagues, one of the survivors of the November 21st Waukesha Christmas Parade attacks, hit a home run. And for anybody that's familiar with Eric's story, logic would dictate, and this comes from Eric's family, that Eric was literally run over in that attack and wasn't supposed to survive. Not only did he survive, but he had reached a full recovery and continues to play the game he loves at the college level at Beloit. And to see him hit a home run in his last home game his senior year, it was just a very special moment and one I'll never forget. And then later in the year, December 9th, Carroll University women's basketball team upset undefeated number 9 Millikan with the National Player of the Year, J.C. Knudsen, who put up like 32 points. Amazing game that went into overtime. Amazing game. A lot like that that sectional final between Fusion and CMH that we've been talking about throughout the show. And the moment was when, in overtime, star guard Olivia Rangel, the junior from Franklin, who led the Pioneers with 30 points, she secured the inbound pass with 1.7 seconds left to secure this amazing victory. And where she caught the ball and where she let the clock run out, she was sitting right in front of University President Dr. Cindy Nattinger, who's played a really huge role in the Pioneers' resurgence in their athletics across the board. And she was sitting there right in front of Olivia, and she got up with the rest of the fans to cheer. And in this real impromptu moment, Olivia Rangel, the junior, handed the game ball to President Nattinger before going to celebrate with the team. And it was just this amazing moment. Dr. Nattinger handed the ball over to Mike Shulis, who was like two seats down from her, so that Mike could have all the young ladies sign it and then put it in a case. Place of prominence in Dr. Nattinger's office, I'm sure. And it was just, it's one of those moments you'd never forget. It's just the grace, the beauty of it. An amazing one, one you'll never forget. And I know Coach Joe Bansky appreciates this because there were so many moments in your career like that, that you isolate in on, and it's the way that the student athlete had carried him or herself.
Yeah, we actually have a ball from our state competition, had all the guys sign it, and it is treasure that you look back at, and for as long as that ball hangs around, right?
Right.
You look at it. I have one going all the way back 1999 that I look at, and you can remember those athletes and
sure
what that season was about. It is certainly treasure.
Sure, sure. So, and I want to mention too, just walked in the door here, my resident counsel in the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, James Santel, host of Morning Cannolis, which is on next. And Jim's been a part of the show. He's appeared on a couple occasions, was a real advocate for helping us move north and south out of the Classic 8 into the Parkland Conference with his legal analysis on the subject, and mentioning some key precedents with the WIAA in previous trials that helped make a convincing argument for moving south. So very grateful. And Jim's also talked about other key legal issues involving the city and the school district, which have become hot buttons. And encourage you to check his show out. It goes 9 to 11 every Saturday, so he'll be on next. And my guest will be graced with, you don't know how this show, maybe you do from when you're on earlier, Jim gives our guest morning cannolis from Brady's, or from Glorioso's on Brady Street. So
you didn't know that, Nick, did you?
Nick Bingenheimer.
It's a bonus.
It is a bonus.
Much bigger than being named All-State is getting a morning cannoli from James Santel. Thanks so much, Jim. And thanks so much for all of his contributions to this week in Waukesha and to what's been a remarkable 2023. And you can eat these while we're on the show. I think I might sneak a bite. So, but I might save it for my breakfast. We were talking about great moments in sports. And then, you know, you mentioned, because you'd coached the team, we talked about this in the previous show, you're kind of like the Dick Vermeil of volleyball, that you coached and took some time off, in your case, to raise your daughter, I believe.
Yep.
And came back, like, I don't know, 15 years later to coach.
Yeah, there's a 14-year break in between.
And you didn't miss a beat.
Well, we came back. I came back in 2018. Waukesha South took them to state in 2000 and 2001.
Wow.
My daughter was born in 05, so 04 was my last, we play in the fall, so 04
right.
was my last season with the team, and stepped away to be a dad. I have a daughter and a son, and it was just time to come back as South was looking for a coach, and, you know, stars kind of realigned, if you will.
Yeah, and talk, and again, that could not have been easy, because I'm sure a lot of the sport has changed over the years.
The sport, everything from rules, there was actually a position change, the way we keep score change. I mean, there were so many things that changed during that process of being away. I did continue to play competitively, so I was,
that probably helped.
I was aware of the changes and the impacts. The speed of the game is so different. The height of the game is so different. It's really the metamorphosis of how volleyball's played has really changed.
When we come back from our final segment here on WAUK, more with Coach Joe Bansky and Nick Bingenheimer, Waukesha Fusion champion coach and All-State middle blocker, respectively. Don't go away.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
FM. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, and that was If I Should Fall From Grace With God by the Pogues, led by Shane McGowan, who passed away November 30th this year. One of my favorite artists, and we've been covering his music a lot. The Fairy Tale of New York is arguably the greatest Christmas song of the 20th century, if not ever. The Pogues with the late Kirsty MacColl, and that's one of the more fun dance songs, if you will, or high speed pogue songs that you can dance to. And when my son Evan was little, he used to call it Go Boys, so that's how he remembers it. But we am here again in this final segment with champion coach of the year Joe Bansky, my sport Waukesha sports person of the year, and his all-state middle blocker Nick Bingenheimer from North, but a proud representative of the Fusion, wearing the Fusion blue and orange sweatshirt, quite a brand, quite a winning tradition. And, you know, again, as we gravitate into athletic conferences that many believe are more equitable for our schools, for our kids, there's an anticipation of a higher level of participation from kids. I don't know how true that is given some of the demographics and some of the challenges that many of our kids, especially at South, have. But do you envision a day where a unique volleyball team for North and South may happen? And if so, like, how would you deal with, or what if that you were still coaching and had to deal with that?
Yeah, it's not only something that we envision, it is a goal that we defined when we got together, was that, you know, how do we reseed these programs within the two schools?
And, sure.
Nick and the guys on the team have given us part of that tool to reseeding that is sure. Interest level, right? We've had current kids in the school, 5-6 of them that have already said, hey coach, is it okay if I come out next year? And these are juniors, sophomore age groups. So, you know, winning begets interest. Interest becomes new players, and, sure. And that's the growth plan. So, sure.
Hey, we're taking your calls here in this final segment, 844-967-2789, or text us at that number, 844-967-2789. And, you know, in this last segment here, Coach Joe Bansky and Nick Bingenheimer, what have I not covered that you'd want people to know about Fusion and about the future of volleyball in Waukesha?
You know, I'd pose this question to Nick. Sport is about experience. Share a little bit, what was your experience as a 3-year player of Fusion? Tell us about that.
It took a very short amount of time to be able to bond with the guys from South and to be able to make a cohesive team. Like, having only 3 years to make a cohesive and very successful team out of two separate schools is what I would have thought before was pretty challenging, but it was actually really easy because a lot of the guys were really willing to be like part of this like new brand new team. So what was the original question?
Like
what have we talked about?
Yeah, what do you take away? Yeah, what do you take away from being on a high school team made up of two teams or two schools?
It's really not that much different from any other normal high school team of just one school. It's a bunch of the same experiences, if not more, because we were so successful. And I think being part of a sport that has a co-op team, it gives there's more chance of success. There's more chance that guys from either school will make at least one really good varsity squad. And that's really the main difference from like a normal school. Like if you have two smaller schools come together, they can make just as good of a team as like one school with more resources.
Yeah. You know, I'll say when I look at Fusion and I look at the experiences that we created, the friendships that were made.
Yeah.
These guys, somebody asked me early on, do you guys do a lot of team dinners? And some schools do this. They kind of force the relationship, right. Yeah. If you will. And I kind of laughed. I'm like, these guys are like always together. And there was no need. It was these friendships that got seeded through what was going on the court that left the court. And now these guys are all playing together still on a club team. Nick and Rick and Liam Robertson, and Logan Seipert. So you've got two guys from North and two guys from South still playing together at club level and taking those experiences on where they'll play together into June, which is a great opportunity for them to continue to grow those friendships. And those will last, you know, lifetime, has been my experience, just a lifetime.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, and even I've been on some teams that didn't do so great. And some championship teams, but those friendships that were made, yeah, they can last a lifetime, and that sharing.
Yeah, yeah.
So
no doubt, no doubt.
So guys, what are your plans for New Year's?
Making, we always stay in. Picked up, went off to Ray's Butcher Shop, nice. Which is an annual. We used to live on the south side of Milwaukee, so
okay.
We would always go to Ray's.
Love it.
And pick up some steaks and, you know, so some lobster tails, nice. Which were a little bit more expensive than previous years, but you know,
turf.
Yeah. Sure. So that's what's on the agenda is a family dinner, sitting around talking stories.
How about you, Nick?
Staying home. I'm hosting, bringing a few friends over, just kind of relaxed, hanging out, having a good time. Not too exciting.
That's good. Hey, but it's a good way to celebrate. And, you know, if you, have memories to share, you know, definitely put them on my Facebook page. In this final minute, I want to thank Coach Joe Bansky and Nick Bingenheimer, All-State middle blocker of the Waukesha Fusion Championship team. Thanks for making 2023 a very special team. And everybody out there listening, thank you for sharing your Saturdays with me every Saturday. I hope you all have a safe, prosperous, and happy new year. And always remember here in the Shaw, safety is everyone's responsibility. Be good to each other. Have a safe, fun time tomorrow night. And see ya!
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.